go on. This is another thing that you have to deal with by tearing it off like you would a filthy garment. And the last one he says is slander of every kind. Slander. What does King James say for that one? Evil speaking. Okay. Put it in your margin, slander, because that tells you a lot clearer. Slander of every kind. Speaking against someone else. Defaming someone. Taking their reputation away by what you say. The world does this all the time. The world says the only way I can get up is to step on somebody else. But in the house of God, it cannot be. Strip these things off. So let me read the list now. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Those are the sicknesses that will cause spiritual babies not to be hungry for the word. If your heart is filled with slander, malice, mean disposition, if your heart is filled with any of these things, you certainly will not hunger for the word, because the word will do what to you? It will convict you. Everywhere you read, you'll be reading about loving one another. You'll see it in everything you find, because that's the way God's word is. Whatever is needing dealt with in our lives, God deals with it through the word. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go on. Verse 3. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, and he is. And for the word good, let me give you the literal meaning of that word from the Greek. It means loyal. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is loyal. Have you ever noticed how loyal God is to you? When you've been disloyal to him, he just hangs in there. Praise God. All right, going into verse 4. Now, you're going to see some beautiful descriptions here. First, you're going to see a description of Jesus Christ himself. Secondly, you're going to see a description of the church, the corporate body, the church. So let's go on and read. As you come to him, the living stone. Underscore that. The living stone. That's a paradox. Did you ever see one? Do you know what that is? When God says a living stone, he's talking about something we can't even imagine. He takes the inanimate and animate and puts them together. And he tells us something that we can't even imagine. A living stone. Why does he call Jesus a living stone? All right, if you will, first of all, think of what a stone is. What do you think of when you think of a stone or a rock? Strong, I heard. All right. Strong. What else? Solid. What else? Foundation. What else? There it is. Stable. Stable. Can't be moved. That's growing up. The greatest evidence that a person is maturing in the Lord is they are not shaken. Things happen that should shake them to pieces, and when it's all over, you meet them, and the first thing you hear from their lips is, praise God. I praise the Lord. God's been faithful to me. They are unshaken. A living stone. That's what Jesus is. Coming unto him as a living stone. That's talking about the stability of the Lord. But then living brings out the other side of him. He's so vibrant and dynamic. Hallelujah. He is so personable, a living stone, understanding and warm. Now, if you will, go on. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, to God, you also, like what? Living stones. And if you will, in your margin, put just like him. You see, that's what God is saying. He's a living stone. You also are living stones. when you were born by that incorruptible word, when the word came into you and changed you, do you know the change that it made? It made you like Jesus. That's why the believers were called Christians, first in Antioch, because the word Christian means little Christ. When the world sees you, they see Jesus. Now, I'm going to pause for just a moment and say that we've had a little problem of too much moving around in the church. And I would like to say that it has been a custom of our church that we ask you especially, at all times, but especially in the teaching of the Word, I will not be much longer. I don't want anybody moving around unless it's an emergency, please. Okay? Christians are little Christ, just like the Lord. It says, you also, as living stones, are being built into two things. And I want you to see the word pictures that Peter uses now. What is God doing? All right? He's taking you and you and you and you as living stones. And I would just like you to look down the row where you're seated. Just everybody look at the people you're sitting with right now. And look how different they are from you. And how different their backgrounds are. And how different where they've come from. And how differently they talk. And how differently they think. And how different their jobs are. Very different. He takes all these living stones and he joins them together. And what does he build? A spiritual house. I want you to know that the stones that are seated on that pew where you are, the stones that are seated together right there, there's the church. There is the spiritual house. God says that you are fitly joined together. Did you ever see a stonemason work? Did you ever see a man take a pile of rocks and make a stone house out of it? What does he do with every rock he picks up? Come on, what does he do with it? He shapes it to fit into the rock that it's going to be beside. And I wonder if some of you are right at that stage now in your life, in the Lord, where you've been feeling yourself in the hands of the Lord, and then every once in a while you feel his chisel go, bonk! And you say, what was that? Oh, I'm just getting you ready to put you next to Brother Smith. If I wouldn't have cut that corner off, you and Brother Smith would have been bumping all the time. I'm getting that corner off so you can fit into the house. Once he fits you in, he takes his glorious mortar of the Holy Ghost and he packs you in that mortar and sets you firmly in place. And he says, now, as soon as that mortar is dry, nobody will ever get him out of there. Hallelujah. That's why we don't have nervous breakdowns about somebody going to leave the church. I had somebody sit in my office this week and said to me, you know, Pastor Tate, did you know that your church has a reputation with some churches of being a sheep stealer? I said, what? Yes, some people think you're a sheep stealer. I said, well, now I have two things to say to that. The first thing is, you can't steal a sheep. Jesus said, my sheep know what? My voice. And the voice of a stranger they will not hear. And so if a sheep feels and hears the voice of the shepherd, we have not established this place. We did not build this building to bring people from other churches and bring them in with us. That was not our goal or motive. God knows our hearts. We built this place to bring the lost in and introduce them to Jesus and see this family grow as much as our Lord will let it grow. Hallelujah. But if there are sheep that are hearing the shepherd's voice, we have no control over that. We leave that in the hands of the shepherd. But the second thing that I would like to say I would like to say that Jesus is the one who puts the church together. And when he sets you in his church, I do not believe that men should have the choice of where they will go to church. I believe that the great shepherd of the sheep places people in the church where they belong and where they will do well. And I believe when they are set there, they are to be under the authority of that body. I do not believe in church gypsies. I do not believe in getting your name on 16 church mailing lists and on Saturday night setting out the 16 bulletins and saying, let's see what I like for tomorrow. That's smorgasbord. That's not church. I believe you become part of the family, and I believe that when you have roast beef, you eat roast beef. And when you have leftovers, you eat leftovers. Hallelujah. But you don't go prancing around for what you like best. You put yourself under the authority of the body. That's where health is. That's where you grow. Hallelujah. The king of Sparta had the king of Lydda come to him. This is true. I read this. This is true from history. The king of Lydda came and said to him, I have come to see the walls of Sparta. The walls of Sparta were known all over the world. The king of Sparta took him down to the armory. And he pointed to the soldiers in the armory and he said, these are the walls of Sparta. Every man among them is a stone. There were no literal walls. The walls of Sparta were their prepared men. And in Matthew 16, I'm not going to take time to read it because I want to finish this, but let me give it to you as something to do homework. Please read Matthew 16, 13 to 18, and hear Jesus explain what the stability of his church is. It's Matthew 16. 13 to 18. Please read it on your own. All right, Jesus said, Peter said, that the Lord will take you living stones and put you together and build a spiritual house to be a what? A holy priesthood. Now, underscore that again, and especially if you have trouble believing that the church, that the believers are the priests. I am not the priest of this church. Every believer in this church is a priest. The Lord said, I take all the living stones and I build out of them a holy priesthood. Hallelujah. I would like to talk to you about holiness. I heard Dave Wilkerson speak on Friday night. And he spoke about the ministry that God is calling him to, especially to New York City for this summer. There is going to be an outreach that will go out and actually anybody in this body, any person in this body of believers that would like to be involved in that can. You just stop and tell Florence, stop there today in the office and tell her, put my name on the list. I'd like to be notified when that team goes out into New York City. Because that will be a training. He will actually train you how to go out on the streets and bring Christ to people on the streets. But he said, I'm not just going out to tell people about the cross and get them to say the sinner's prayer. I want to see people have their lives changed. He said, unless God brings us back to holiness, we're going to miss what God's doing. And the scripture that he used is, Babylon is fallen, is fallen. Now, Babylon is a picture of the apostate church. And if you will remember with me, please, the apostate church is not any one church. It is those people in every church who left their vibrant life and backslid and just have a form but no reality in their life. There's no more holiness. They live just like the world, but they go to church on Sunday. Holiness. Holiness is the call that is a holy priesthood. Offering spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God. Please put Romans 12, 1 and 2 right beside spiritual sacrifices. God says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beg you to offer your body a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Offer a living sacrifice, not a dead one, unto God. Okay, quickly, go with me, and let's finish down to verse 10. For in Scripture it says, See, I lay in Zion a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. What stone? Jesus Christ, that living cornerstone. Unto you who believe, he is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. I just want to talk to you for a minute about Jesus Christ. Once you have heard about him, once you have been presented with the claims of Jesus Christ in your life, I want to tell you this morning that you will never, ever be able to shake him. Jesus Christ is to those who believe precious. He is the chief cornerstone. He is the lily of the valley. He is the bright and morning star. He is everything that they desire. But to those who disbelieve, he is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Do you know people that are trying to get away from him today? Oh, I can think of so many. They are doing their level best to get away from him. They are trying to shake him. And everywhere they turn, there's somebody to say, Oh, do you know Jesus? I read this from C.S. Lewis, and I thought I should include it this morning. It was so, I just thought it was so beautiful. He said, You may shut up Jesus Christ in hell with the demons, or you may think that he's a lunatic, just like the man who thinks that he's a poached egg. You may fall on your knees and say, You are God. Do any of those, he said, but just don't give me any of this patronizing nonsense about Christ being a good man. He simply is not that. He is the God of eternity. He is the sovereign Lord of the universe. Therefore, we either believe him and make him Lord of our life, or we reject him and spend the rest of our life falling over him. There is no alternative. Why do men curse the name of Jesus Christ? Have you ever thought of that? That's the name that's been chosen. You hear people say it all the time. You people that work among sinners, you hear people say Jesus Christ all week long as a curse. How come they don't say Muhammad, Muhammad? Buddha, Buddha. Confucius, Confucius. No, they say Jesus Christ. You know why? Because there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so Satan has said, if I can just get people to say that name enough times, not meaning anything good, not meaning anything at all. And I really do believe that 90% of the people who say it don't mean a thing. They don't even know they say it. It's the plan. Get people deaf to that name. Get people not to hear that name. Because if we can get them there, we've tuned them out to the only means of salvation. The last two verses, quickly, verse 9. But you who believe are a chosen people. Oh, I wish I could take time on each one of these, but listen to them. Did you know that that's what you are? A chosen people. A royal priesthood. Folks, you don't need a robe to make you a priest. Hallelujah. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You may close your Bibles. I would just like to talk to your hearts for a moment. Do you know that God took nobodies and made somebody out of them? Once you were not a people, now you are the people of God. God says, out of this entire universe, out of this whole wide world, you are the ones that I have chosen to bear my name. You say, now wait a minute, Pastor Tate. Do you mean like Herbert W. Armstrong says? That only those who are chosen will have a chance, but if you weren't chosen, there's no hope for you? I didn't say that, did I? I said, because you believed, you were chosen. Both run on parallel tracks. I cannot explain that to you, but God chose you because you believed. Hallelujah. You are a holy priesthood. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. Do you know that holiness has been stamped on you? Holiness has been stamped upon you. You cannot live like the rest of the world, so that you may show the praises. That's what he called us for, to show the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Folks, we have something to live for. We have something to live for. But we cannot do it without a total commitment. It cannot be something that we tack on the end of our life. It must be the center of our life. Hallelujah. I would like you to bow together in prayer. With every head bowed, with every eye closed, piano and organ playing, He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Father, we ask just now for the moving of Your Spirit to be upon us. For we do believe, Lord, that you have laid afresh upon us this morning the claims of the cross. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Lord, let the call come to those that are here today who have not truly believed on you, who have not made a commitment of their lives to you. Let your call come loud and clear. Holy Spirit, come and call every sinful life into holiness and forgiveness, into that rebirth. Hallelujah. I ask you right now, if you're here needing to meet Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today, needing to have sins forgiven in your life and a great change take place within you, will you honestly lift your hand, lift it way up high, say, Pastor, I need Jesus. I need him as my Savior today. I need him to forgive my sins. I'm ready to surrender my life to him. Lift up your hand as high as it will go and hold it there until we've seen it, please. How many today need the Lord? Yes, I see that hand. Quickly, others, raise your hand. I see that hand right here in the front. God bless you. And right up there in the balcony, I see that hand. How many others? Quickly. Please lift it up high. Right over there, I see that hand. God bless you, young man. Others, quickly. Yes, over there, I see that hand. God bless you. There are others that the Lord is calling right now. You haven't lifted your hand, but you know you should this morning. Oh, how I need Jesus. I know that I need him. This is my last call. Will you please get your hands up? If God is dealing with you, lift it up high. Where are you? Others that God is speaking to. you, Jesus. All right, all of you that have lifted your hands, we're ready to pray with you. We want to pray with you. Will you stand up quickly, you that have raised your hands, and come down here to the front, to the door on your extreme right. There are people already going in that door that are going to pray with you. That's it. All of you that have raised your hands, please come. Come on. Come quickly. God is calling you. God bless you. That's it. They're coming from all over the building, up in the balcony. You that have raised your hands, will you please follow the directions of the usher? The door will take you right down into that room. You that have raised your hands, come. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now let's stand together. Every knee shall bow. We don't want to wait. We're going to do it now. Hallelujah. Join the hands of those that are near you. Reach across the aisle and grab your partner across the aisle, and let's sing it all together. Lift it in song. Yes, He is Lord.